Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell, and it's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Lots to talk about. Pacers and the Knicks tomorrow afternoon. Chris Denary will join us soon. We'll talk more racing throughout the night. Lots going on. The Pacers, the Racers, it's real, it's legit. We're also going to talk some high school baseball later on tonight. Right now, though, we kick it to the star of our show, Network Indiana's Nathaniel Finch.
Nathaniel Finch with you from our Monument Circle Studios in downtown Indianapolis. Landon Coons, our producer. Coach, it is a pleasure to share this radio show with you. Let's talk Pacers. We've got plenty to talk about, but why don't we start with a big win from yesterday. The Indiana Pacers, 116-103. They defeat the New York Knicks in a huge Game 6. It was a win-or-go-home situation. That's what we'll have. Game 7 tomorrow, 3:30 on ABC. Plenty happened in this entire series, but most notably, hey, the home team has won every single game. It goes back to Madison Square Garden. The last time we had a Game 7 at Madison Square Garden in the playoffs, it was this play, 1995. Here's Patrick Ewing.
Ewing surrounded. 2 seconds to shoot. He drives. He shoots. He missed. He missed. He missed.
We win.
Ring the bell, baby. Never. Ding dong. The witch is dead. And the Pacers have won it 97-95. And we're going to Disney World.
The Pacers trying to move on and play what would be Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, battered the entire series, the Knicks have been. They've been down some of their main starters. Obviously, Julius Randle hasn't played in a couple months. Neither has Bojan Bogdanovic. Mitchell Robinson's missed this entire series. But Josh Hart also hurt now. He had an abdominal strain. Missed the fourth quarter of Game 6. He's going to play through the injury Game 7. OG Anunoby, we haven't seen him since Game 2 with a hamstring injury. He is questionable to play tomorrow. Rick Carlisle talked after the game, and he says the team is not celebrating that win as much as you might think.
In a series like this, you can't sit around patting yourself on the back. I mean, that's what gets your ass kicked the next game. So, you know, we're going to keep our celebrations very short, if at all, after this game, and get ready for Sunday afternoon.
Hey, Tyrese Haliburton, how do you expect that Game 7 to go?
I expect probably the most unbelievable environment I've ever played in an NBA game. You know, the Garden is a crazy place with, you know, they got a rabid fan base. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about being on the road and doing something that we haven't done this series. We know the storied history of this rivalry between these two franchises, and now we're adding another, you know, another chapter to that. So, you know, I think we're all excited to go. There's going to be a lot of energy in the building from them and from us, and game sevens are always so ugly. So I expect an ugly game, and I expect whoever plays harder to win.
The game tomorrow, 3:30, tip ABC, Madison Square Garden. It's Pacers and Racers. That's because of the Indianapolis 500, the 108th running next Sunday. We had qualifications today and tomorrow. And how about Team Penske? The top three fastest laps, Will Power, Scott McLaughlin, and Joseph Newgarden. That four-lap average for Power was 233.758. Team Penske dominated. They have the 1, 2, and 3 drivers right now in the Fast 12, which also includes number 4, Alexander Rossi. After him, Kyle Kirkwood, Kyle Larson, Felix Rosenquist, Santino Ferrucci, Takuma Sato. At 10th is Pato Award, Rinus VK, and Ryan Hunter-Reay. Those are the Fast 12. They will qualify again tomorrow to see how those first few rows go. Now in the last row shootout, Marcus Ericsson, the 2022 winner of the Indianapolis 500, was 31st today. He'll be in that shootout with Catherine Legg, Graham Rahal again, and Nolan Siegel. So we'll see how that all goes tomorrow at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The Indiana Fever fall 91-80 was that final score. Their second game against the New York Liberty in 48 hours. Big improvement, though, from the 102-66 loss on Thursday. Caitlin Clark, 22 points, 6 rebounds, and 8 assists. I've got plenty more to tell you, including Major League Baseball scores and how the Indians did. Everything else in Minor League Baseball all throughout the night. I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Wrapping up season number 30 next Saturday night. Baseball today, minor league baseball tonight. Indianapolis Indians and the Toledo Mud Hens. It's a shootout at Victory Field. Indians win this one 16-10. Legendary Hall of Famer, voice of the Indians, Howard Kelman, joins me. Howard, people were moving the bats tonight on both sides.
Well, you're right, Bob, and here's what happened, and I've never seen this happen before and done before. The Indians were ahead 6-4 going to the bottom half of the sixth inning. Now, Toledo removed its starting pitcher in the second inning. He had been struggling a bit, but it was only the second inning. And we thought, okay, well, you got a lot of pitchers and you want to keep the damage in track in check, I guess. Then they brought a relief pitcher in. They didn't pitch him that long. They brought another guy in. They didn't pitch him that long. So now, as I said, we get to the bottom of the sixth. Indians ahead 6-4. And they bring in a position player. A position player to pitch when they're only two runs down in the sixth inning. It's unheard of.
Right.
So
right.
the guys just tore him apart.
Yeah.
Three Davidson, two home runs against him. And it was just Matt Gorski, the Hamilton Southeastern kid, belted a three-run homer. In fact, we had 2 3-run homers in the eighth inning alone. So that's why you had all those runs and all those hits.
Any speculation as to why they would literally waste relievers that early?
I can't figure it out. And I just go to a position player in the sixth inning, and he got 15 pitchers. He'll probably tell you, well, I have a doubleheader tomorrow, which we have, and we had a doubleheader Thursday. But if that's the case, don't take out your starting pitcher so quickly. And don't bring in your relief pitchers. Take them out so quickly.
Right. Well, you know, in this day and age where pitch count rules everything, and I understand, but still, I would say, I'm trying not to be critical here, but mismanagement of our pitching staff is a big key tonight.
Well, that's what I think. Now, that's the Toledo side. There are two sides to a story, but it was hard to believe what we saw.
Sure.
You know, in a blowout, in a 10-run lead, you see a position player pitch an inning. Once in a while, 2 innings, but 3 innings when you're down only by 2 runs, unheard of.
Right. I would think so. All right, so got the bats going, so let's hope it continues tomorrow. Who's on the hill for the Tribe tomorrow?
Well, both teams are undecided about their starting pitchers because of the doubleheader and the fact we had a doubleheader on Thursday.
Right.
We can say the series is even at 2 games apiece, and it's a doubleheader beginning at 12:35. So even if you want to watch the Pacer game at 3:30, you can come to Victory Field and watch the first game of our doubleheader and go home in plenty of time.
Good sales job right there, Howard. That's great. He's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. The legendary voice of the Indians, Howard Kelman. Indians beat the Toledo Mud Hens 16-10. Tomorrow, get out to the ballpark after, and then you have time to go watch some racing and watch the Pacers. Howard, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Bob, as always, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Great job. It's kind of hard to understand going to a position player. I mean, we've all seen it, you know, when your staff has been depleted and you get, you know, extra inning games and those types of situations. But it's a little It's a little different, I think, that early. Just a little bit, you know, just a little bit different. So, but then again, I'm not doing it. All right, so at the track tonight, at the track today, we're going to continue to talk about that quite a bit. But earlier today, our colleague, our good friend, Brad Huber, was out doing some serious work, and one of the guys he caught up with, Marcus Erickson, having some problems and having some real problems. We'll talk with him a little bit later. We'll hear from Marco Andretti, Elio Castroneves, and Connor Daly and Ed Carpenter. We'll hear briefly from those guys in the next few minutes as we get ready for qualifications. You know, we got it all set up tomorrow. They're going to be racing for the pole tomorrow. Also, 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. I think we all know what's going on there. We'll talk about that game coming up a little bit later on tonight. And it's just a fantastic time to be in Indiana right now. All of us proud to be Hoosiers because we're the epicenter of sports right now. Scoreboard update coming up with the man himself, Nathaniel Finch. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I'm Nathaniel Finch with your Network Indiana scoreboard update. Some big movement in Major League Baseball. Last time I talked to you, it was the Arizona Diamondbacks that had 2-0 at home against the Detroit Tigers. Well, Detroit just put up a 6th spot in the 7th inning. It is now 6-2, and the Tigers with the lead, bottom of the 7th inning. What a game brewing over there. The Tigers taking the lead back and now ahead by 4. Not as good news in L.A. The Reds now trailing 2-0 against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Looking at some other scores, Coach, your Cardinals, 7-2. They defeat the Boston Red Sox at home. That one going final in the last handful of minutes. The Yankees, 6-1. They defeat the Chicago White Sox. The Cleveland Guardians win 11-4 against the Minnesota Twins. But the game that everybody wants to hear about, the Chicago Cubs and the Pittsburgh Pirates. It was 0-0 heading into the bottom of the ninth. Here's how that happened. One nothing, the Cubs win that one, and what a finale. It was a close play at the plate. It was challenged. It was looked at. It was heavily scrutinized, and it was determined that Cody Bellinger was safe at the plate. Just barely, Cubs win 1-0 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. All right, the Indiana Fever, they fall this afternoon in New York. That final score, it was better than Thursday night. It was 91-80. I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Game 7 tomorrow, Eastern Conference. Matchup between the Pacers and the Knicks. Television voice of the Indiana Pacers, longtime television voice, Chris Denary joins us. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Bob. How are you? Yeah, can't wait. Wish I was doing the game, but I'll be happy to watch.
Right. I understand. Before we talk about the Pacers, people don't probably realize you began your association with the Pacers. When you began your association, you were the voice of the Fever when they started that franchise. And I have to believe that for someone who's been associated and close to the organization as long as you have to be ecstatic about how things are going with this franchise. And there's so much energy. It's gratifying to see it on a franchise that's spent a lot of time, a lot of work, and a lot of money to try to get to this point.
Oh, no question. You're absolutely right. I've done the Pacers, just completed my 18th season, and I was the radio and TV voice of the Fever for 18 years, from 2000 to 2017. And, you know, was there for the championship in 2012. You know, I did over almost 600 Fever games in my career. So absolutely to see what the Fever are doing, you know, the addition of Caitlin Clark. I was in the building on Thursday night. It was a sellout, 17,000. It was just wonderful to see. And, you know, they've lost their first three games, but they've played two of the toughest teams in the WNBA,
right,
Liberty,
right,
and Connecticut. But, Lynn Dunn's going to do a great job. And it's really good times for Pacers Sports and Entertainment, with the Pacers one game away from potentially going to the Eastern Conference Finals, and with what the Fever are going to do in the future. It's a lot of fun to watch. And absolutely, I have such fond memories of all those years with Tamika Catchings and Katie Douglas and Stephanie White. I had a lot of fun doing it, and was there when they won the championship in 2012.
I think it's fantastic, quite frankly, and it's fun. It's fun, not to mention the fact, those who don't know, I don't know I don't know how they don't know. In addition to all of that, you're in turn four of the Indianapolis 500 for what year is this one?
It's year 25 on the network. I was in the pits for 2 years, and it's my 23rd year in turn four. So, yeah. Looking forward to that. I got a nice start last week working the road course race. You put all those numbers down, Bob. You know, this is the 25th year of the Indiana Fever, and I started year one back in 2000. So I've been very, very fortunate.
Yeah, you know, you've been fortunate, and you're also pretty darn good at it. let's just say that. I mean, there's a reason why they keep you around as long as they have, because, quite frankly, you're tremendous at what you do.
Well, I appreciate it. It's, my dad was my coach, high school coach at Westfield.
Sure.
And I didn't go into coaching. I sort of made the pivot. I said, you know, maybe I'll go the broadcasting route. And on day one in Crawfordsville at Wabash College, I ventured over to the booth that said WNDY Radio. And my dad told me, he goes, I think you'd be pretty good at that. You ought to go look at that. And that's what I did. And, that was back in the fall of 1979. And, here we are 40 plus years later. Hard to believe.
All right, let's talk about tomorrow. Question mark is clearly the health of the New York Knicks, and it has been a struggle for them. We have no sympathy, but we understand. But you gotta love the fact that you're playing for a Game 7. You also have to be cognizant of the fact you're playing in a very, very difficult building in which to win. And so the Pacers have to clearly be able to clean up some things that have troubled them and bothered them to this point, not the least of which is making sure you get a great effort on the defensive glass.
Yeah, no question. You've got to play more like you did in games one and two when you had a chance to win, not how you played in game five where you got badly out-rebounded. They've got to play with force. They've got to play physically. Again, we don't know who will play for the Knicks. OG Anunoby is now questionable. He has not played since being injured, back in game two. So, to me, it doesn't matter who's on the floor. This is 29 years ago, Bob. The Pacers and the Knicks went to a game seven at Madison Square Garden, mm-hmm. and Indiana mm-hmm. was able to win and go to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, it's just going to come down to doing what the Pacers need to do, and that's play with force, as you said, rebound the basketball, do a good job limiting turnovers. They did a really good job last night in game six. They did not do a good job from a turnover perspective in game five. But this is a team that's won a lot of good games on the road. They beat the Knicks earlier in the year in the regular season. They mm-hmm. won at Oklahoma City late. They won at Dallas. So they're very capable of winning on the road. And if they win tomorrow, Bob, they are in the final four of the NBA. Who would have thought that at the beginning of the year?
It's an amazing story. I mean, clearly is one of the youngest rosters in the league. The rebuild, year number two or three or however we're counting, it's amazing what they've been able to do. And their style is such that it's captured the imagination of a crowd in Indianapolis. And they're a hard team to match up with in many ways. They're very difficult to match up with.
Oh, no question, because you have a center in Miles Turner who can block shots, but he can step out, hit the three. Pascal Siakam's been a tremendous addition. And then you have Tyrese Halliburton, who sort of orchestrates everything. And
right.
To your point about what the Pacers have done, being in Gainbridge Fieldhouse during the end of the regular season, into the playoffs, seeing the gold out, seeing the passion that this city and state has for their professional basketball franchise, it's been fantastic.
Well, it really has, and we're hopeful that it continues. You know, you're hopeful that they can have a similar effort like they had the last time out, and to force this game seven. You know, and you know, I think a lot of it clearly starts with Tyrese Halliburton being able to force the action and engage with his teammates. I think I'd like to see him be just a tiny bit more selfish if he can, but it's clearly not in his nature. But you just like how they force the action defensively and picking up the pace a little bit defensively allowed them to get into a rhythm. And if they can do that, I like their chances.
Absolutely. The full court pressure that they've used here, probably the last four games in the series, I think is very important. And to your point, I think there are times that Ty needs to be a little more selfish. He's a terrific passer, wants to get all of his teammates involved. But, you know, I think in a game seven tomorrow night, I think you'll see him more like you saw him during the in-season tournament. Those types of things where at times he can put his team on his back. Now, he's got a lot more help than he had back in December. He has Pascal Siakam, and Siakam was terrific last night with 25 points. I expect to see him have a really good game in Game 7.
It's been fun. We hope it continues. I know that. Chris, great to talk to you. I know you, like the rest of us, will be glued to the TV tomorrow afternoon.
Absolutely. Looking for. I want to see next week, Bob, Pacers and Racers. Let's have two playoff games at home in the middle in Indianapolis 500. Right. That's what we lived for back in the 90s. We want to do it again.
I look forward to it. He's Chris Denari, the television voice of the Pacers. Chris, thanks. Great to catch up with you. Enjoy the weekend. I'll talk to you next week as we get ready for the 500, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach.
You're welcome. Thank you. Chris Denari, tremendous, tremendous talent. Great guy. I've always been a huge fan of Chris Denari. I will always be a huge fan. All right, scoreboard update coming up. We're going to talk some more qualifications. Big day out at the track. When we come back, we'll talk about that on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
Nathaniel Finch with your Network Indiana scoreboard update. The Indiana Pacers yesterday won 116-103 at home against the New York Knicks. They now have won all six of their home games in these playoffs this year. In fact, they haven't lost at Gainbridge Fieldhouse in 61 days. That is since March 18th. They have been on fire at home, but in order to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals, they will have to win on the road at Madison Square Garden. That game tomorrow at 3:30. Tyrese Halliburton on why they got the win.
We had to come out and play desperate. I think when you're in the playoffs, you know, the more desperate team is typically the team that wins. And us being down 3-2, the pressure was on us. You know what I mean? They know we got to go back to the Garden and win. But we had to come out and just play harder for 48 minutes. And I think we got to maintain that going into Game 7.
The stakes could not be higher for Game 7. Both teams desperate. Winner move on, loser goes home. Now we have one team in the conference finals already. It's the Boston Celtics. They will host either the Pacers or the Knicks starting early next week. Now, a series could be decided here in the next couple minutes. 2:10 left in the fourth quarter in Dallas, tied at 1:10 apiece. The Thunder and the Mavericks. Right now, Dallas has a 3-2 series lead, so they could close this one out with the win. The Thunder trying to force a Game 7, just as the Pacers did. Now, Pacers play tomorrow at 3:30. The night game, 8 o'clock p.m., it is the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. That a Game 7 in the Western Conference. Denver hosting that game against the up-and-coming T-Wolves should be a lot of fun. Meanwhile, in the NHL playoffs, the Oilers trying to close their series ahead 4-1 over the Vancouver Canucks. For Network Indiana, I'm Nathaniel Finn.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Wrapping up season 30 next Saturday. I'm going to take a couple months off. 9 years of the 30 years we've been on the air, Tony Donahue used to be our studio producer, and now he is a race expert and an entrepreneur and all-around good guy. He joins us after spending the day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Tony, thanks so much for the call. Also the host of the insanely popular Tony D podcast. Give me your thoughts and impressions on a very active and busy and exciting day out at the track today.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to talk about and what happened today. A lot of things that stick out today start with Chevy had some problems. We saw Honda had some engine problems earlier in the week as well. You've got a top 12 that has 9 Chevys and 3 Hondas. Every Chevy team is in the top 30, so Chevy is not missing the race. We know that a Honda will be the Indianapolis 500. So a lot to dive into, a lot to discuss. Ryan Hunter-Reay, kind of an upset into that top.
And we'll see. Fastest was Will Power, and Team Penske was on it. They're the top 3 on the board as we head into tomorrow.
All right, so pretend I don't know anything, and I'm just a casual observer, and you say Chevy had a tough day, yet a lot of the top qualifiers are driving Chevy. So what's going on?
Yes, so they had some problems with engines when a driver would downshift. And I'm not a technical guy. I'm not a behind the scenes.
Right.
Something to do with the fuel that gets released during that. So it happened to Kyle Larson, who ended up in the top 12 anyway. It happened to a guy like Augustine Canapino, who was on a flyer at Carpenter, Christian Rasmussen, who all seemed on their first lap to have enough speed to make it into that top 12, but kind of ruined the lap when you shift and the power isn't there immediately. So, yeah, I mean, outside of that, still a good day for Chevy with 9 in the top 12. McLaren kind of struggled early, and they knew that these problems were happening, so they pulled a lot of their they pulled all their drivers, and then Kyle Larson went out, got it into that top 12. Callum Ilott, who's in the 6 car, who's looking to make a second Indianapolis 500, he just missed out on that top 12. And then Pato O'Ward, Alexander Rossi get in. Rossi looked really, really strong. He seems to have a fast car as well.
Sounds to me like they might have overcome some of the problems. It was a good day for the Penske team. They were pretty solid in terms of overall. They had a really good day.
Yeah, they did. And you think about, you know, Team Penske has not qualified all that well as the Indianapolis 500. I mean, last year, Joseph Newgarden won the race from the 17th starting position. And this is a race that usually you have to start up front. You have to start inside of that top 10. But Penske proved last year that you don't need that. Here's what's crazy is last year, Michael Cannon, who's one of the best engineers at setting up a race car at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, joined A.J. Foyt Racing. We saw Benjamin Peterson, the rookie for A.J. Foyt last year, become the fastest qualifying rookie in the history of the race, while Santino Ferrucci qualified 4th and finished 3rd. And now in the offseason, there was a joint alliance between A.J. Foyt and Roger Penske's team. And with that, it seemed like when he got to Indy, we would see a lot of speed. I know Santino got into the top 12, but it seems like Foyt has taken maybe a slight step back while Penske, with the partnership with Michael Cannon, who's one of the best engineers, and with A.J. Foyt, has propelled them to be a lot faster.
Okay. All right, so a lot of drama tomorrow because there's so much going on, you know, in terms of the format. You're battling out for the top 12. You're battling it out for the last row, going for the pole. What do you see unfolding tomorrow?
I mean, it's crazy, right? You mentioned the drama. You've got 4 drivers battling for the final 3 spots in the Indianapolis 500. You've got Graham Rahal, veteran driver, Bobby
right.
won the Indianapolis 500 back in the 80s, 1986. And Graham was in the same position a year ago. Meanwhile, his teammate and two-time Indianapolis 500 winner Takuma Sato is in the top 12. Pietro Fittipaldi is into the field at the in the 30th position. And his teammate Christian Lundgaard is in the 25th position. So Rahal, currently the one Rahal driver on the outside looking in. And then you've got Catherine Legg, the only female attempting to qualify for this year's 500. Nolan Siegel, who had a crash, got up in the air on Thursday, was upside down, and is 19 years old trying to make an Indianapolis 500. Then you've got a guy who finished second last year and first 2 years ago, and Marcus Ericsson in his first go-round in Indy with Andretti Autosport this year, has that accident earlier in the week, and the backup car just hasn't had the speed. So, yeah, you're certainly going to have drama. There's a chance that one of the most famous names in racing in Rahal could go home. There's a chance a 2022 Indianapolis 500 winner Marcus Ericsson could go home. There's also a chance that the 19-year-old rookie and Nolan Siegel could come home or go home. And then Catherine Legg, the only female in the field. So each one certainly is a storyline as we head into that back row shootout coming up tomorrow afternoon.
Tony Donahue, thanks so much for your time. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next weekend.
Looking forward to it, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's continue to talk racing. NASCAR at North Wilkesboro. Got the schedule there. They are in the All-Star race. With me from FS1, the superstar himself, the host of NASCAR Race Hub on FS1, and also part of the Xfinity Series broadcast team, the one and only Adam Alexander. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I know you're doing great because we got a lot of racing to talk about on the NASCAR side, do we not?
It's an exciting time and a good transition from Tony to what we're doing at North Wilkesboro, because obviously there's some crossover in 2024 with Kyle Larson, and I know Tony mentioned his name, but Kyle's someone that is going to attempt the double and race both the Indy 500 and the Coke 600 next weekend. And it kind of begins this weekend with him being in Indy for qualifying and then the All-Star race tomorrow night. So a busy time for him and a storyline we'll be following closely on the NASCAR side.
I'm just trying to figure out, how did they pull off the logistics of literally being in two different places that aren't right around the corner from one another?
You know, there's so much that goes into that, and I was talking with Jeff Gordon about that the other day, actually, and I know there's a ton of anxiety in those details because there's so many people that have to be in the right place and have everything, you know, put where it needs to be to make sure that plan is executed, you know, to perfection, because there's no margin for error. And now you look at the situation we're in for tomorrow. Kyle didn't practice his All-Star car on Friday because he needed to be in Indy for practice. He obviously wasn't at North Wilkesboro today because of his commitments to qualifying. And so Kevin Harvick qualified the car.
Mm-hmm.
And that means Kyle Larson will have to start at the back because of the driver change. But now he goes out, qualifies in the top 12.
Mm-hmm.
He's got commitments tomorrow. If he makes the final six, you throw into the equation to even make a run, or do you just bypass that and fly to North Wilkesboro to run the All-Star race? And that doesn't even bring into the equation next weekend when he's got to do the 500 miles in Indy before getting to Charlotte.
Yeah.
So there are, you know, so many details, and weather can play a role in all that as well.
We don't understand commitments. You know, we don't understand sponsor commitments, you know, the series commitments, you know, victory celebrations and those, you know, press responsibilities. We have no idea as fans what all is involved in that.
Well, and I would say that Kyle Larson is the perfect guy for this, because Kyle has always done a really good job, in my opinion, of compartmentalizing and just knowing what his strength is, and that is driving the race car. And I'm not saying he's not invested
right.
in the process. Obviously, he's got knowledge and he's able to relay what the car's doing technically, but he's pretty good at just understanding where his strength is and going out and delivering behind the wheel.
Adam Alexander, hang on. Can you do that through this next segment?
Sure.
Perfect. We'll come back. Scoreboard update coming up, and then more Adam Alexander on Indiana Sports Talk.
Nathaniel Finch, Network Indiana, a scoreboard update. Let's talk about some Major League Baseball going the wrong way in L.A. It's the Dodgers leading the Cincinnati Reds 3-0. Bottom of the sixth is that game going the right way. The Detroit Tigers continuing to add to their lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks. That score 8-3 in favor of Detroit. They're in the bottom of the eighth inning there. Looking at some other scores on the day. The White Sox fall 6-1 in New York against the Yankees. Meanwhile, the Guardians win 11-4 against the Minnesota Twins. Coach, your Cardinals 7-2 winners. That one final at home over the Boston Red Sox, but the craziest maybe of them all. It was the Cubs and the Pirates through 8.5 innings. We were scoreless. Bottom of the ninth on base. Two guys were, and it was an outfield single, a close play at the plate. It was Morel who hit the single. It was Bellinger who ran in and slid at home. It was an impressive knock for Morel, and Bellinger even closer. The play at the plate. 1-0, the Cubs win to avenge yesterday's loss at Wrigley Field. Okay, looking at some basketball scores. The Mavericks close out the series in six games. This one, plenty of intrigue in Dallas, 117-116. They defeat the Oklahoma City Thunder. This after Dallas trailed by as many as 17 points in that third quarter. What a win for them. We'll have a Game 7 tomorrow. That's the Nuggets hosting the Timberwolves. Meanwhile, the Indiana Pacers and their Game 7, 3:30 on ABC. That one at Madison Square Garden in New York. I'll tell you more next. I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back, everybody. Race time. We're glad you're with us on Indiana Sports Talk. We're talking racing. You can't talk to anybody else except Adam Alexander. 30 years we've been doing this show, and 30 years you've been calling me. Have I told you how much I appreciate that? Because I really, really do. You know that.
Oh, yeah. It's great to be on with you, Bob. Always enjoy it.
I enjoy it more.
On 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, all my hair wasn't white when I started, but it is now. And I think you can appreciate this with your family and your wife and family. The business you and I are in, we don't spend weekends at home. We work on weekends, right? And so I've asked my wife, so if with me, I started coaching right after I got out of college, and I played basketball and baseball in college, got married, Penny and I got married, and we were 18 right out of high school. And so it'll be 55 years coming up in July, I've asked my wife to give up weekends. And that's quite a commitment now because I either played, coached, or talked about sports for 55 years.
Well, I guess maybe if it's working, you just keep doing it, right, Bob? 55 years is a long time.
Yeah, it's astonishing, to be honest. All right, so tell me about All-Star. Tell me what it's one of the big events. Everybody's excited. Memorial Day weekend, a whole lot of things going on. Truck races. You got the Xfinity, and then you got Cup, and it's a spectacular time to be in NASCAR.
It is. It's fun because, and I'm glad that we are back in the Charlotte area. You know, for years we always did back-to-back. Charlotte was the host of the All-Star race, and then Charlotte Motor Speedway, the Coke 600.
Yeah.
Spent this week in Charlotte. And then we had a couple of years where the All-Star race was other places. You know, the COVID year, it ended up in Bristol, which those circumstances were odd and obviously changed everything. And then there were a couple of years it was at Texas Motor Speedway. Because of the way the schedule worked out, they wanted to do it there. But last year they revived North Wilkesboro, which is just, an hour, 90 minutes up the road. So it's pretty much a home game. So you get that feel of being at home, which is nice. It kind of takes you back to when it was at Charlotte. But you add a new track to the schedule. It's historic because they hadn't raced there in 27 years. And started going there again last year. And You know, they started racing there in the original season of NASCAR 75 years ago in 1949. So this is a place that's been very special to the history of the sport. And now to be back there and doing the All-Star race and $1 million and all that has really allowed a lot of the great worlds in NASCAR to collide and come together and make it a very, very special event.
All right. So did they race this weekend?
So they race tomorrow night. It'll be the All-Star race. Qualifying
right,
was today.
Right.
And we started the truck race. Trucks are racing this weekend as well. It's an off weekend for Xfinity. Unfortunately,
right,
we got into the second stage of the truck race. We had a lightning hold, and eventually it rained. And so they'll finish
nice,
the truck race tomorrow, and then they'll do the All-Star race tomorrow night. So it should be fun, and it's a nice setup to what will be a very busy week in the Charlotte area. With one of the crown jewels coming next Sunday night, and that being the Coca-Cola 600.
All right, so at this stage of the Cup Series, are there surprises in your mind at this particular point? I know it's real relatively early, but what are the surprises?
I would say that there have been surprises, and probably the biggest one was the performance of Ford. You know, they went to a new car with a Dark Horse Mustang in 2024,
right,
and the expectations were high, and they hadn't won until last week. And Brad Keselowski was able to win at Darlington. It was a huge win for him. It snapped a winless streak of 110 races. And so that was an enormous victory for so many reasons, not just Ford as a manufacturer, but Brad snapping the winless streak. And then on top of that, it was his first victory as a driver owner. He took over the operation at RFK a couple of years ago. A very bold move for him, and to see him win was impressive. And, you know, that was one of the bigger surprises early this year. But you've had Hendrick Motorsports and Joe Gibbs Racing really dominate. I'd expect we'll continue to talk about those two organizations a lot.
Adam, I appreciate your time. You want to hang on a little bit more? Welcome back. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Adam Alexander joins us. All right, Adam, my studio producer is telling me that the rain was so bad in North Wilkesboro that literally rain is up to people's knees when they're coming out of the garage area. They're not only the garage area is flooded, and it's an absolute mess down there or up there.
It really was. Tonight we, you know, obviously had everything canceled. They had some pretty heavy storms blow through. A tree went down that hit a transponder, and so electricity was out for a good while. They've already, you know, pushed back arrival times tomorrow on when they're going to open parking lots just because of all the heavy rains in the fields where they park in what is really a very rural area have been shut down because it's just so muddy. They don't want to get vehicles in that obviously they wouldn't be able to get out because they would get stuck and so on because the ground is so saturated. But the track itself is so unique because you actually do kind of run downhill into turn one. And because of that, they got 4 inches of rain in a 2-hour period, and it just flooded out. And so they had trucks that were on pit road in anticipation of getting this race restarted. The rains come through, and you had crew members, as you said, knee-deep pushing trucks out. And so it's going to be quite interesting tomorrow when teams arrive and look at their trucks to get them ready to race and restart the event. Because they could have major problems because of all the rain that fell and some of those trucks that were sitting in the water. So this will be a challenging time, not just for the teams, but NASCAR on how they handle this because it really is unprecedented. And I'm sure they'll have the track in good working order and everything drained out. The weather does look good for tomorrow, and the All-Star race tomorrow night should be fine. But what happened there this afternoon was really something like I'd never seen before.
Yeah, now your problem is, you'll be able to race, but trying to get people in and out might get a little dicey, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's a challenge, and fortunately for everyone involved, this is not an enormous venue that seats a ton of people, and so that should help because, you know, you're not going to have a crowd of 60, 70, 80,000 or something
right,
like that tomorrow. And you always want a big crowd, but this is just not a venue that houses that many people. And so that should help. And they've gone to social media, the track has tonight, encouraging race fans to carpool so that they limit the number of vehicles that are on property.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long day with the truck race happening around noon and then festivities throughout the afternoon off track. It should allow folks to tier their entrance to where you don't just have everyone coming at once. And I would say that would go a long way in helping track workers get everyone where they need to be and doing so as safely as possible so we don't have any issues either getting in or maybe more importantly tomorrow night getting out when it's dark and it's harder to see and anticipate some of the problems that could be there.
If you don't, you need to watch NASCAR Race Hub on FS1, hosted by Adam Alexander. Adam, great to talk to you as always. We'll try to track you down next weekend.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.